Can you imagine what it would be like if you and I could have the same relationship, the same standing, the same intimacy with God as Jesus does? Can you just imagine? Well, turns out that's precisely why Jesus came. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today as we kick off a new series of messages called The Five Most Important Truths That God Wants You to Know with special guest Brett Barclay. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our newest life application booklet, The Shocking Truth About You, Me and Barabbas. I'd love to send you a free copy to help you wrap your heart around the amazing, powerful, life-transforming love of God for you through Jesus Christ. It's Monday again. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. This is A Different Perspective, and I'm joined today and this week on the program by a very special guest, Brett Barclay. His day job? Well, he helps companies and organizations to learn and grow and perform. Some interesting clients there on his client list. But at the heart of who Brett is lies the theologian, the theology lecturer. And if that all sounds just a bit daunting, a man who's passionate about seeing people discover how awesome it is to live the truth of who God is and what he's done for us and what that means for a new life here on earth and for all eternity. Sounds like a bit of a man after my own heart. In fact, I had coffee with Brett recently, and we were talking about this, and what I could see was the passion he has for seeing the rest of us live an extraordinary life. So, I've invited him to the program to talk about the top five truths that God wants us to believe. Brett, hi, and welcome to the program.
Thanks for inviting me, Bernie. It's great to be here.
Mate, let me ask you something. As a businessman, as I guess a minister, as just an ordinary guy, what makes you tick? What flicks your switch?
I would say one word, Christ. You know, everything that I do in business and ministry is really about me fulfilling what God has called me to do with my life. I guess I'm a teacher at heart. That's the primary gift and primary, I guess, motivation I have both in my business and also in ministry. I consider it an awesome privilege to be, you know, serving Christ and to be, I guess, you know, living in the privileges and the liberty of this gospel that we have, and to be able to share that with others, to be able to help companies grow. I help leaders and executives develop and help Bible college students and Christians like you and me grow and develop in whatever area is important to them. For business people, it's usually about performance on the job. Obviously, for Christians, it's about understanding who Christ is and who they are in him.
All right, so tell me, in the list of the top five truths that God wants us to believe, what's the number one on the list, do you think?
I would say the number one for me is that the Christian stands before God as righteous as Christ is. That's a big truth.
Okay, just let me pull you up on this. Tell you, this thing righteous. Christians bandy righteousness around all the time. It's a word that we use, but I guess you wouldn't use it so much in your business consulting, would you? It's a bit like the word sin. Sin has become a four-letter word in society. So unpack this thing righteous.
Yeah, well, righteous is basically a characteristic of God. To be righteous means we're in right standing with God. You know, the clear teaching of the Bible is that the just or the Christian, you know, shall live by faith. The righteous person lives by faith. We don't get to be righteous through our own effort,
our own performance.
Yeah, exactly. But we get to be righteous by believing in the one who is righteous, Christ.
And I guess the flip side of righteousness is sin. Explain that to me. What's your take on that?
I think the easiest definition of sin in my mind is to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. You know, Romans 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, you know, sometimes as Christians, we can pick out different sins and say, oh, that's bad, that's awful. But in fact, everyone that's come through the lineage of Adam, everyone that's been born into humanity has been born with a sin nature. And out of that sin nature comes a lifestyle of sin.
So tell me, why is righteousness relevant to us here and now? Again, it's not a concept that you run across a whole bunch
when you're
walking down the street or through the supermarket. And so for a lot of people, it feels distant, right? It feels almost irrelevant. Tell me, to the average Joe Blow, to me walking down the street, why is righteousness a thing?
So righteousness is a thing because originally we were created by God to be perfect, to be without sin, righteous, totally without guilt, without blame in our life. But sin brought us away from that. So we basically walked away from God, wanted our own agenda and our own plan. So in effect, we were in wrong standing with God. So what God has always desired is for us to be in right standing. So we talk about righteousness in terms of being in right standing with God. And so that's a great place to be.
You reckon?
Yeah, undoubtedly. So one of the great privileges of the Christian life is to stand before God righteous, to know that that's not a righteousness I've earned. It's a righteousness by gift. And that brings us into a tremendous life of liberty and freedom and privilege as well, which is what we're going to be talking about.
You know, I'm not so much my parents' son because I was a perfect son all the time. You know, I'm my parents' son because they love me and I'm my parents' son. And I guess that's the analogy, isn't it, for righteousness, that when we put our trust in this Jesus, that we don't get to be righteous because we happen to be so fantastic at living our lives. We get to be righteous because we're dad's kids.
That's exactly right. We're born into the family, mm-hmm. and that means we have the characteristics of our father.
but okay, someone comes along and says, yeah, hang on, Brett, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not really such a bad person. I mean, how can a supposedly loving God possibly condemn me to hell for the few things I've done wrong in my life? I mean, that'd be a pretty common question, wouldn't it? And it's fair enough, too. What would your answer be?
Great question. The Bible clearly says that, you know, our sins separate us from God. Isaiah talks about that. It'd be like, Bernie, if, you know, this room we're in right now started to burst into flames, and the only way out of this room was the back door. And there was a person calling us at the back door saying, hey, Bernie, hey, Brett, this room is falling down. You will perish in this room. And here's the back door. It's the only way out. Come to the back door. And you see, what happens is sin is basically leading to a life of destruction. Mm. It's a life that's separated from God, separated from the goodness and the provision and the mercy of God, which makes life all that it is. And so when you and I sin, we're separated from that. But in this burning house that we're in, there's a way out, and that way is Christ. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way of escape. He is the way of freedom. And when we come to him, we escape out of hell. We escape out of the flames of what that means to be separate from God.
So how do we grab a hold of that in our life? I mean, how can I get what Jesus did for me in a way that it makes a difference in my life here and now?
Yeah, great question. So the Bible clearly says that whosoever shall believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it's not whosoever shall perform, whosoever shall get all their behaviour right, whosoever shall not swear or shall not murder or shall not cheat on their taxes. None of those things are entry points into the Christian life. You know, the prophet Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. Mm. The way we get into the Christian life and the way we continue in the Christian life is by believing in the one who was perfect. He lived a perfect life, not for him, but for you and I.
So by faith in Jesus.
That's right.
Explain that to me. Why in Jesus?
Because Jesus was the God-man. He was fully God, fully man. He came to earth. He actually came to die. You know, Jesus said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So our sins, it'd be like going into debt to the tune of billions of dollars. We owed a great debt to God. And so Jesus came to pay that debt, and we trust in his righteousness, and that's credited to our account.
All right, we're going to pick up there again tomorrow. Brett, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
As we head towards Easter, we don't always think about the fact that what happened back there on that Passover was a huge injustice. And unless we understand that injustice, it's nigh on impossible to wrap your heart around the amazing love of God for you in Jesus Christ. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called The Shocking Truth About You, Me, and Barabbas. And it's all about helping you come to grips with just how much God loves you. And at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by at christianityworks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. Hey, thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.